This is a replay of the Thursday night, April 16th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. You know that, don't you? I hope you'll rectify it soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings on LA Sports Free Emptus. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from One VoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's One VoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 whole hours to spend together, and whatever's on your mind will be on mine. I've got a number of things, and firstly, got an email, oh man, my flame mail, from Alan in Schaumburg. Hello, Alan. And he says, you say you're going to tell us stuff, and then you don't tell us anything I want to know about the Fleetwoods. All right, yes, I did last night say quite the little soap opera, and I will. Tonight I will give you the whole story, I promise. Well, so I say. You're saying, give it to me now. No, but I will. I marked it down and circled it and all that. All right. Now, so here it is. I get the mail the other day, and the government has decided to give John another Medicare card. And they say in their letter with it that we've changed your number due to the data breach. Well, that's nice. What data breach? They don't tell us that. So who knows? But when we went to the doctor today and I gave them a new number, they said, oh, yes, a lot of people. I'm like, I don't know. Now, that's the backdrop for what I'm going to talk to you about for the moment. Then we'll take it to Dave in Forest City. And we got Johnny in Austin, and there's room for you, too. But so here's the deal. I get some emails, and I think Bob, who gives me the best links, had passed this along, and James on the south side also passed this along, and I saw it for myself, that Greece is joining the ranks of Australia et al. To ban children under 15 from social media. For Greece, it's starting in January 2027. I think for Australia, it's already in effect. They're trying to get the entire EU to join on in there. And on the one hand, you say, well, thank God, because children are impressionable, and the unrelenting hazing and bullying on social media is such that, yeah, there are numerous suicides. And when there aren't, there are absolutely psychological disorders of mega proportions that some kids are exhibiting. And you can betcha that social media is probably not good for, not probably, it's not good for kids. All right. So far, so good. So I make the mistake of thinking. That's right. I got to join Thinkers Anonymous. Well, how exactly are they going to do this? Yeah. And so I read, and it's not that different from Greece and Australia. I read this and I see the glaring problem. All right, so they're going to have core technologies for age verification, including AI-powered age estimation, analyzing facial features from video selfies. Yeah. They're going to have age inference. Yes, behavioral analysis, algorithms analyzing user activity patterns, such as interaction with known underage users, type of content consumed, and activity during school hours. Government ID systems like Know Your Customer, used in banking, where platforms will require identification cards or government documents, birth certificates and such. Bank account verification. Yeah, Snapchat apparently is thinking about that, using bank accounts that, we'll go on. Centralized digital ID apps. The European Union introducing a digital wallet app, providing that the user is over a certain age without disclosing personal information to the platform. Well, that last part, see, is not in any of the other methods that we've gotten to so far, because the onus is on the social media companies in these laws, period. Not on the government. In fact, with Australia, they have platform liability laws where they are passing laws that tech giants, Meta, TikTok, etc., are legally responsible. In Australia, the fines are up to $32 million U.S. per violation. So you can betcha that these companies are going to make damn sure that they verified these ages. Nowhere in any of these bills does it talk about what will happen when they compromise the identity of these individuals, because you know that's going to happen. Greece is going with facial and voice recognition, and also the age inference and the government IDs and all that, and they're talking about the fines for non-compliance. And no one is talking about, and what we'll do to you if you misuse the data. So I'm thinking to myself, you think you have a problem now? Just wait. All right, end of rant. 888-876-5593. Dave in Forest City, Iowa. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh.
How are you, Dave?
I'm doing pretty well. I was singing yesterday morning.
Yeah?
And, because I was so motivated to sing.
Oh, I see.
Einmal am Rhein. You ever heard that song?
I don't know.
You don't think it's German, so you probably not.
Yeah.
So that's how that means I'm doing pretty well.
Good.
But, so, yeah. Yesterday, I got $180 markdown on cashews.
Okay, I got to ask you to talk more into your phone. We're only getting part of you.
Oh,
that's much better. That is 100% better. Okay, good.
Good. I'm glad, because it depends on how I hold it.
Yes, that's true.
So it cost me $45 without the discount. It cost me $180 more for those cashews. And they were in the Dollar Tree. There were some plain cashews in one cart, and honey roasted cashews in another cart. So I took the one cart and I bought all the cashews in that cart. We bagged it up, and then
keep talking into the phone. You can do it.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
gotta hold it. Okay. So I after I paid for the first cart, I went back to get the other cart, and the checker who checked me out followed me to that cart, and she grabbed a bunch of nuts from the cart so that I wouldn't get them, so she could have them, she could take them home.
What?
And yes, can you believe it? It's unbelievable.
Employees are grabbing items out of customers' carts?
Well, it was... I might not have touched it yet, but I was going to get it. She knew that I was.
Oh, so it was. I see. It was still on the shelf when she circumvented you and grabbed them.
Well, no, these weren't on a shelf. The discount items they put out in a cart.
Okay.
By the front door, so you see So if I want, since I wanted to buy everything in the cart, I just took the cart.
Okay.
But before I could pull the cart through the checkout line, she grabbed a bunch of bags of cashews
right out of your cart. Yeah.
Yeah, that I was going to take. So, that's never happened before. Wow. And this is a small town, like 4,000, so maybe that might have something to do with it.
No.
Anyway, so.
No.
Okay.
I don't care how many people are in the town. This is unacceptable on every level. Now, firstly, we'll avoid the discussion of the wisdom of eating food from the dollar store, because that's another topic entirely. But assuming you're going to do
it.
Well, yeah, so you think. And maybe so. But bottom line here is the store has to have a manager. Did you complain?
Yeah, I called her today and let her know.
And
I don't know. I don't think she's going to be fired right away, but I wouldn't be surprised if she was gone after a few months.
All right, so the bottom line is actually management was responsive to your complaint.
Yeah, they listened, and, she didn't say whether they had a policy against that. They probably do. They probably have a policy against their employees doing stuff like that.
Well, you know, I don't know, because I would hope that it doesn't come up often enough that it's in a policy.
Yeah, you don't need a policy. I worked in stores, and I never did that.
No, I mean, common sense and just common decency. So, yeah, well, there you go. I don't know what to say.
So, anyway, so that's one, you know, way of saving money. I've known that it isn't always people who do stuff like that like to save money.
Mm.
They're probably millionaires to do it, and they're probably penniless people that don't try to save money.
Yeah.
So it isn't so much that the poor people do it. It's the...
No, obviously not. It also has to do with ethics, and that doesn't have a dollar sign. So that's the way I see it anyway. But and of course, cashews are becoming pricier, almonds as well. And, you know, some people say tariffs. Well, yeah, but costs of production and labor have been going up since before the issue of tariffs and the supply chain in general. So you've got a lot
of them. Where do cashews come?
Of places like Vietnam.
I mean, are they tree? They come off a tree?
You know, that's an interesting question. If it's a tree, I'd call it a bush.
A bush, okay, a cashew bush.
Well, I don't think they call them that, and it is a tree, I guess. It's an evergreen, they say, and so I don't know much about it. They call the tree. And I know they call the tree like an apple tree, but it's not an apple. It's a tree nut, and so it hangs. It hangs from the bottom of the tree. So, and it's native to Brazil.
Okay.
But there's
kidding.
The thing that I know is there's a lot of them in Vietnam and India. And the other thing, the reason that they're hard to process is the outer shell is toxic.
No kidding.
And when I say toxic, I should explain it better. It's more like poison ivy. It's got an oil that will just really dig into you if you're doing it. So they call it a tropical evergreen tree. And I didn't think that. I'm just looking it up as I speak. I thought they were bush level. But no, they can get pretty damn high. All right. So this says they can grow to 46 feet high. I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know. Well, this is on this is on Wikipedia. God only knows. They may mean 4.6. No, but I'll go with 46 feet high. Why? Now I got to look for pictures. And I'm looking.
I'd have to.
Yeah, I'm looking at a tree here, and to me, it looks like a big bush. But apparently, according to them, it's not a big bush. It's a big tree.
Yeah, I would never buy cashews at the regular price because I just can't afford to.
Sell
them that much, but. Getting a $180 markdown is hard to pass up. So,
well, there you are.
And
yeah.
If I can store them properly, so that they will last for a year in the freezer, then I can I don't have to overeat nuts, because that could be bad for you too, I think.
Oh, absolutely, and cashews are not the healthiest nut you could be eating by far.
Really?
Oh, no, but what's interesting is they're a lot like pistachios. I was thinking of that, too. Pistachios, of course, we were in real trouble when we had the first deal with Iran and the hostages and all that, because all our pistachios were coming from Iran, and they're the best. They absolutely are the best. And the problem is that they were already trying to cultivate them in California, but it takes 20 years for the tree to bear fruit. So, in this case, bear nuts. And so it took a while, but now almost all the pistachios you get in America are coming out of California, but the good stuff is from Iran.
It's funny because they look moldy because they're green.
Yeah, well, there's a certain amount of mold in it, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I just thought they were green, but I didn't
know.
Well,
no, it's not because they're green. Cashews and pistachios are the same family of nut. And I think it's a sumac, S-U-M-A-C, sumac family, and doing that from memory. But they're not the healthiest thing to eat.
Well, that's too bad. So what, say pecans and walnuts would be a lot better, huh?
The deal is cashews have a high calorie count and a high fat density. And so it's really that more than anything else. So when you look at the charts and all that, that's the number one thing. But then some people say, oh, it's a risk to kidney stones. I wouldn't worry about that. And, you know, all that and the toxins. But, I mean, if it's carefully processed, you're not going to get the toxins. But it is a lot of fat. It is a lot of fat and it is a lot of calories.
Well, I'll just eat 1.5 ounce a day. That's one package. So
all right.
It's easy to ration because they're packaged in 1.5 ounce packages. So
yeah,
that'll work.
Yeah.
So
walnuts are very healthy. Well, unless you eat the candied walnuts, and then of course you're eating sugar. Brazil nuts are almonds. Almonds are really good. I will. John saying shut up. All right. But cashews are gonna be a little just eat a few of them. They'll go a long way. And you'll save money.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for calling.
All right. We'll
appreciate
see you later.
It. All right. So there you go. I'll shut up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, he wrote the twist, of course, about the time Chubby Checker was putting it down. He was on to the Hoochie Coochie Coo, Hank Ballard and the Midnighters, 1960 on King. And that's Nick from Baltimore's request, and we're going to get to him right after we talk to Johnny in Austin. So, and I haven't forgotten about the Fleetwoods. All right, so Johnny, before I get to Johnny, nuts. Let me tell you, during the break, I was looking up nuts. This is so funny. I refuse now to tell you what's good and what's bad because I just saw completely conflicting opinions. The Mayo Clinic is not down for pistachios. For cashews, as far as that goes. But other groups will tell you that cashews are just great. My favorite's macadamia because some put it at the top of their list for health reasons and some people put it at the bottom of their list for diet reasons. And so bottom line, eat any damn nut you want. And as far as that goes, I'm pretty sure you can find some source that says that it's just fine. Now, the one thing they all agree, don't process it. Yeah, you start to get that smokehouse flavor, a little bit of that caramel flavor. No, that's not part of the game. These are off the tree deal. So, Johnny and Austin, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Speaking of nuts, let's go to Johnny and Austin.
Yeah, there you go.
Did you do that on purpose?
I did not. But of course, given all your years in radio, it should be somewhat of a compliment.
Don't you think, this is not my topic, but do you think that both of us have only done radio. Well, you've done more than I did. But do you think radio just attracts a certain amount of undesirable people?
Absolutely.
Wait a minute. Or is it just life?
No, well, it is life. But I mean, absolutely, that's true. God, I remember so much as a child. My mother said, why are you attracted to people who will do you absolutely no good?
True.
And, yeah, she meant radio people in general. And to an extent, but no, we're certainly not the misfits that 1950s top 40 disc jockeys were thought to be, you know, when they couldn't even open a bank account or get an apartment or any of that. So it's not quite that bad.
It was even worse back then.
Oh, literally. It was like they thought they were child molesters. That was the reason for the Todd Source disc jockey convention. He was trying to up-level the image of the disc jockey, you know, because...
How many radio stations did you work for?
Oh, I don't know. If you're talking about being on the air for some period of time, definitely more than 50.
Yeah, with the exception of one station, I was on all over the Houston AM FM band. There was more that I was on and I wasn't. And hell, I can't even remember half of them. I got to go, you know, I wrote it down once.
Yeah, I don't even like to think about it. But actually,
I don't either. I'm sorry I brought it up.
No, you were in Charleston, and I wish I had written it down, but I found this guy who was kind of like the Jerry Blavitt of Charleston. He was a record promoter and all this. It all started when someone sent me an email that their stepdad had been on a record. And I looked up this record, and it was alarming to me because this was like a girl and a backup group who were, you know, like high school kids or whatever. And they got on a label through like Warner Special Products or Columbia Special Products, one of those. And so I started researching it further, and I came back to this guy. And now, of course, I don't remember who the guy is. I've got to look that up because I thought, I'll bet you Johnny knows him from when you were in Charleston, even though it wasn't that long. So
I was there 69 and 70.
Yeah, no, you would probably know this guy because he was really a promoter. But now, and in fact, I played, that's what I should do, go to Raleigh.net. I played the guy's record.
The people that I worked with, I don't remember anybody in West Virginia from record promotion or records or anything like that.
Yeah, no,
I might know the name, maybe.
I think you would, as far as that goes. So I should be absolutely more prepared for this, no doubt. But
that's why I try to take notes before I call you.
Right. I should probably
like
take notes before I do the show. But I'm sure that's true. But now I can't.
You mentioned the Fleet. This is not why I called. You mentioned the Fleetwood.
Oh yeah.
Is Gretchen still around?
Yes, Gretchen Christopher is somewhat retired. She's back in Olympia, her hometown, and the news about her dying in 2024. And I've actually seen that on some sites that are for Gretchen. It's not true. That's not the same Gretchen Christopher. This Gretchen Christopher is very much alive. As far as I know. The other gal, Barbara, is alive as well.
Well, Gretchen, I knew nothing about the Fleetwoods, really, but when I was doing an oldie show via a mini disc in Lufkin, Texas, back in the late 90s, there was this high school kid that used to call me, and he loved oldies, and he was totally into the Fleetwoods.
Yeah.
I mean, he was crazy for the Fleetwoods. So here's this kid struggling to get out of high school. I had never met him in my life, but he would call all the time and ask for these oldies. How old are you?
Right.
And he told me, you know, he's in high school. And so he was having a rough time graduating high school.
Okay.
And I said, I'm going to give me a second to try something. So a couple of days went by, and I contacted Gretchen of the Fleetwoods. I had never heard of her. I didn't know her. I didn't know. But I introduced myself, and I said, I've got a favor. I told her my background. I said, I got a favor to ask you. And ran down the story about me being a morning guy in a radio station. And there was a kid that was having trouble getting through high school. He loved the group and everything. Would she call him?
Oh, my God.
And she did.
Oh, my God.
Just to brighten his day.
Oh, wow.
And she was the sweetest thing. She really was. and she sent him a couple of their CDs and stuff, and she was a wonderful person.
Isn't that nice?
So that's why I asked if she was. I never talked to her again.
Yeah, no.
I call asking her for a favor, you know.
No, she was born on Leap Day 1940, so she turned 86 this year. And Barbara was born like 9 days before her on February 20th, 1940. They knew each other from grade school on. And when they were in high school in Olympia, that's when Gary Troxell asked if he could join them, I think playing trumpet or something. And then he, of course, became the lead singer for obvious reasons.
Well, I'll tell you, this kid knew more about the Fleetwoods than I ever knew. I wanted to mention a couple of things, but I had a main point to make. Thank you to your listeners who have emailed me, a gentleman named Paul, a couple of guys named Steven, and of course Nick in Baltimore. And we're working on a lot of stuff that's going to make the show a whole lot better. It's already, not that it was bad.
Yeah, I was going to say it's already good. What's getting better?
Well, you know, when you have a product, you always want to make it better.
Well, yeah.
And make it more listener interactive and so forth. But I was just taking a look at my notes here. I carry cards around that say Soul of the City with Johnny Goins, just like the logo that you see when you go to soulofthecity.net. So when I'm in a place, a lot of medical places lately, unfortunately, but I'll see somebody that looks nice, and I'll get in a conversation with them. I'll say, what kind of music do you like? And ultimately give them the card and tell them about the show and so forth. Well, today, this afternoon, I went to get a haircut, and I go to one of these cheap places, and the place was quiet. Same lady cuts my hair all the time. So I'm a very observant person like you are. So after I get my hair cut, I'm standing there waiting to pay, and I'm looking over at this little kid. He looked to be like probably 4 years old, getting his hair cut. And he was kind of getting into it, you know. And I saw his mom and dad standing there, and I said to his dad, I said, is he always like getting haircuts? And he said, oh, no, but he's into it now. And I said, well, yeah, I can tell. And his dad was real proud, taking pictures of him and everything. And so we got to talking, and I asked him where he's from. And I said, what kind of music do you like? And he said, oh, I'm very eclectic. I like everything. I like George, from George Strait to you name it. And he said, and I actually listen to terrestrial radio. And I said, why?
Oh, God.
And he said, well, I mean, you know, I find some good stuff over there. I said, how do you take all these commercial clusters that just go on for forever? He said, oh, I just switched to another station.
Yeah, all right.
And so, anyway, so I said, this is where I'm going with the story. So I said, your kid's really funny to watch him. So he's putting on quite a show over there. So anyway, I told him about the show. I said, I don't know, do you like soul music at all? And he said, yeah, I do. And this guy was probably about, I'm guessing, 35 years old.
Okay.
And I said, if you don't mind, let me give you a card. And I've got a show that runs on Sunday night from 6 to midnight Central Time. And it's all soul, classic soul, R&B, and some Motown, but not predominantly. And you might like it. And he said, I said, do you have any favorites, artists? And this is funny because we talked about this the other night. He said, Sam Cooke.
Okay.
And he said, and I'll tell you what, the official story of Sam Cooke's death, I don't believe it.
Yeah, absolutely not.
This guy's 35 or 6 years old, Raleigh.
Yep.
And I said, wow. And I said, you know Jackie Wilson? Lonely Teardrops. I'm like, oh, man, I nabbed the listener right here,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
And so at any rate, it was interesting to hear that. And it made me think that I had been wanting to ask you about this Sam Cooke murder story from back when he died.
Yeah, I don't
and
buy it.
And there's been a lot of controversy about it. And to be honest with you, I don't know that much about it. Other than a motel lady shot him to death and he came in with a trench coat on naked or something.
Yeah, yeah, the Hacienda Motel on South Figueroa.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
So I mean, this guy obviously knew a hell of a lot more about Sam Cooke than I do.
Yeah. Well,
so Can you summarize the controversy about his death?
Well, officially, it was Berthelley Franklin, the manager of the Hacienda Motel.
Who died in 89.
Yeah, and, you know, is that really who did it? No, there were a number of circumstances surrounding him musically and other things and individuals who were downright afraid of him. Because he was just, you know, so successful and charismatic and all that kind of stuff.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So, you know, you can read all about it. I can't tell you who. I could probably tell you who the names are, who people theorize, but maybe one night we'll do that. So
the official story of this lady just shooting him is
That's certainly part of it, but no, you got to know the four story. And the Hacienda Motel was interesting too, because that was one of those places that was like $3 an hour motel,
right?
You know, it's just we'll get to that some night. But I found the deal, by the way, and I don't mean to give it short shrift. I promise we'll have a Sam Cooke session. In fact, there was a listener who actually wrote, I think, a book about Sam, and he wanted to be on the show, and I've got his letter somewhere, and I should probably find his.
I think I saw that book once.
Yeah, I think that I should probably find him and have him on, talk about it too, and I'll tell you what I know or what I have heard, because I don't know firsthand anything. But okay, Charleston, here was the deal. It was a guy named Greg who wrote, said, my stepdad, Lewis Collins, had a local band in Charleston, the Mark IV, and they recorded a song, How Sweet It Is, on Cala Records. So the first thing I do when I look at that and I say, Cala Records, what the hell is that, right? And, well, it turns out it's a label based in Charleston that exists only on 145. So I go a little further because now I want to know, all right, Cala Records, how did this 45 get out there? Well, it was actually a Columbia Special Products pressing. So in other words, someone paid Columbia to press this at the Terre Haute plant based upon the record. But so here is an unknown one shot, all right? So it's Sandy Kayla and the Mark IV. And so I'm like, who's Sandy Kayla? Well, I can't find that out. A girl, a young girl, obviously. But the answer was the producer, Ike Joseph. And that's what got interesting to me. Because Ike, in the latter 50s and early 60s, was kind of a singer and a promoter in Charleston. In the mid-50s, he was Johnny Urban. He had a record on Cadillac, Before I Go. Cadillac, by the way, existed. It was a Detroit-area label. And so John saying, shut up. Oh, I better do that. Hang on. Don't go away. We'll leave Ike right there, and I'll pick it up, I promise. But right now, I need to talk about something I love to talk about, the Sea Crane Company and the CC Skywave SSB2. Well, you can hold it in the palm of your hand. It is a terrific travel radio. You know, we were talking about it the other night, and it is really nice because, of course, like all the records, all the radios that Bob Crane developed, it's got terrific AM and terrific FM reception, period. But it's got a lot more as far as that goes. It's got, it's got the aviation band, VHF. And so, consequently, if you're traveling and want to know what the air traffic controllers are talking about, those who are on VHF as opposed to some who are on UHF, you'll hear it all. You'll also hear all the single sideband transmissions, which will give you information you're not hearing anywhere else. So it's really neat. And it's got the weather band, NOAA, of course, and weather alerts and just great information, great radio. And so if you're looking for one thing, you're going traveling or whatever, say, I want something that'll do it all. I'll tell you what, this is a great little emergency radio and a great little travel radio, the CC Skywave SSB2. You can go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. But if you can't go online for some reason, call them, 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. They'll answer all your questions. They'll tell you all about it. But if you can go online, you can see it for yourself. It's a beautiful little radio, the CC Skywave SSB2 at ccradio.com. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
Try to see things my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on? Why you see it your way? Run the risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone. We can work it out, we can work it out. Think of what you're saying. You can get it wrong and still think that it's alright. Think of what I'm saying. We can work it out and get it straight or say goodnight. We can work it out, we can work it out. Life is very short.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. And yeah, Maddie said his wife, he was playing that for his wife, Maria, who likes it, and she flies for United and was in Alaska yesterday. I don't know about now, but hopefully she heard it. It was kind of Shapes of Things to Come for Stevie Wonder. It was he who pushed for that. Very often it was Berry Gordy who would include stuff that was outside the Motown fold on those albums. But no, this was Stevie himself who had said, I want to do it. And it was on that Signed, Sealed, and Delivered album. And the Adantes, of course, did backup, and Benny Benjamin played drums. And yeah, so it was part of his push to shift toward a much more mature sound. And we've talked about that, where he almost was off the label. And ultimately, boy, didn't it work out to their advantage that he wasn't. So we're talking to Johnny in Austin about all things. So let me get back to this guy in Charleston here. This you see,
okay.
I take it you've never heard of Ike Joseph?
Never.
All right. Well, it's fascinating, because when I started to look into him, he was a lot of things, including he was a Johnny Rocker, a country act in the mid-60s. RCA released a single, and I'm pretty sure that's who got Columbia Special Products involved, I'd bet. So I try to look, because at this point, Ike's no longer with us, but he's got a son and a grandson, both of whom are influential in Charleston. And the group I was able to find too, including the stepdad of Greg, Lewis Collins. They had started in 1960 at South Charleston High, and they're still playing to this day. Newer members, we assume. But yeah, this Ike Joseph guy was fascinating to me, because as I looked at more and more of his stuff, he was involved with all sorts of things. Like, he was on the Karen label for a while, you know, Ollie McLaughlin's label.
He's
like, who is he? And I thought, well, maybe you'll know, but you don't.
Well, you know, in my younger days, I never stayed anywhere very long.
Well, yeah, of course not. And you and me both. But obviously, he wasn't that much of a force when you were there, or you would have.
Well, he could have been. Well, yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
By then, but I never studied much of the market.
Yeah.
Prior to being there, so. You know, there was a lot about the history of music in Charleston, West Virginia, and radio in West Virginia that I didn't know.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess...
I just went up there. Actually, I went up there to visit a friend of mine, and she was on the air, and her boss came in and said, well, we got a job opening. Are you interested? And I'm like, well, I wasn't expecting this. What do you want me to do? And I ended up going to work there for the big top 40 station in the market.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was great.
All right.
Back to Sam Cooke, just for a minute.
Okay.
I got to let you go, because I know you got other calls.
Okay.
Holding.
No, that's fine. And I do a full board of them, actually. And we will definitely talk about it, because the reason I don't want to give it too much short shrift, but just in cliff notes, is... if the woman at the Hacienda Motel, who used to be a madam, by the way, and the girl that he picked up was a hooker and arrested for it a month later, they were probably in cahoots, but the question is, who paid them? And that's the real story, because the story that the hooker told the young girl was that she met him at a party. No, she met him at Martoni's, my all-time favorite restaurant, actually. And, you know, then after that, about 1 a.m, they went to PJ's, which, you know, big club, the guys who owned that opened Whiskey later, a couple of years. But back then, you know, Trini Lopez recorded his stuff at PJ's. Anyway, you know, so, but who paid him? And the suspects included Alan Klein. Yeah, right, exactly. And half of the music industry establishment, including his wife, Barbara, who 2 months after he dies, marries Bobby Womack.
Right.
So, you know, but so it's an entire cadre of people. But when you start to boil it down, we're never going to know. That's why I'm glad we're talking about it, because I've got this guy's email still, and I've got to give him a call and see if we can get the book and have him on.
Well, it was so funny to run into this total stranger today.
Yeah.
He was in his mid-30s. And talking about music, the first thing he said after George Strait was, how do you like soul? And he said, Sam Cooke? And I said, yeah. And he said, "That's that whole Sam Cooke. There's something wrong with that whole story." Yeah.
Well, absolutely, there is. Yes, and we just don't know what it is. You know, I mean, obviously,
and that just happened today.
Yeah. All right.
So anyway, and we were talking about Sam earlier.
Yeah.
And I got two requests for you.
Yes.
If you feel like it, if you don't, that's cool.
Yeah, right.
But your listeners who have been so kind to sample my show on Sunday nights have been wonderful. The emails have been great. And I've thanked you on my show several times
for
your kindness and your support of what I'm trying to get done.
Soulofthecity.net, a true labor of love.
It's what it is.
Yeah.
And it ain't been easy.
No, it never is.
Soulofthecity.net. It's on 6 p.m. to midnight Central Time, Sunday nights. No archives. It's in real time only.
Yeah.
And you'll hear all the favorite artists. And I'm going to start branching out and doing some kind of creative, different things, which is going to be nice. I've got interface and all this technical stuff that your listeners could give a hoot about. The bit rate on the microphone recordings is 64-bit mono, and it's a little swishy.
All right. Well, it would be. Yeah. If you're even for voice, I'd get it up to 96.
There you go. That's when I do that. That's what I do. But,
yeah.
You know, I've told you what I'm dealing with. And
oh, yeah.
You know.
Well, here's the deal. So I'm glad you mentioned technical, because some people always listen through aggregators and they look for Soul of the City and they don't find it. Well, if you can't go to soulofthecity.net directly, look for HoustonRadioPlatinum.com on Sunday nights from 6 to midnight Central, and you'll find Soul of the City.
Thanks for putting that out there. Houston Radio Platinum.
Yep.
.com is and they're all over the place. You can pick them up all over the world on all these different. What do you call these things?
Aggregators.
What is an aggregator?
No, aggregator.
Not an alligator.
No, an aggregate. In other words, it is a whole formed by combining several parts. That's an aggregate.
Okay.
So, in other words, what they're doing is they're taking many, many streams and putting them all into one platform. They've aggregated it.
How do they make any money out of doing this?
I don't know. I'd have to, the various aggregators might be making some money. I don't know. I'd have to listen to them to know. Very often it's pre-rolls and things like that.
Huh. Well, we got a lot of that going on too. So, at any rate, let me give you my request. I'll get out of here. There was a Sam Cooke song that I think was around the time that the big one, "A Change Is Gonna Come," came out, and I think it kind of got buried in there. It was called "Somebody Ease My Trouble in Mind."
Okay.
Got that?
Yep.
Okay. And the other song that I really like is quite different. Nappy Brown's the original "Don't Be Angry."
Oh, yeah, "Don't Be Cruel." Yes, absolutely. You betcha. Much,
not,
much better version.
We're not talking Stonewall Jackson.
No.
Or Donna Fargo.
Yeah, no, we are absolutely not. All right, good deal.
Oh, I like them. I like them. So anyway, for your listeners who have checked out my radio show, I want to thank you for it, for letting their friends know about it. I want to thank you for it. I'm very appreciative, and thank you for all you've done to kind of help me along.
Well, we all thank you for doing it, because, again, it's a labor of love. It's truly a hobby from the standpoint of there ain't no money coming in, and we appreciate all you do to put it together.
No, there's not going to be any money.
No.
But if I can entertain some people with a format that's kind of different,
yeah,
then cool. My 30-year vision has come to pass.
All right. Good deal. Well, good to hear from
you.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Okay, bye.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye.
So, yeah, at some point I gotta contact that guy about his book, because it would be nice to get more of the story. But if you think you're going to get an answer on Sam Cooke, you're not. It's all conjecture. We don't know. Except I agree. The real story didn't cut it for me either. Nick in Baltimore, welcome to WGN Radio. Now, wait a minute. Don't go away, Nick. I've done something wrong again. There we are. All right, Nick. Are you with us? No. I thought Nick was here. I don't know. Did I screw this up? I'm entirely capable of screwing it up, but I actually think that this one isn't my fault, but we'll see. I think that's it. So Nick will call us back, and we will in moments talk to Nick is calling us back. I see. Maybe I did hang up on him, but I don't think so. So we'll find out. All right, Nick, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, I don't know. The line dropped. I don't know why. But,
God, I'm probably to blame. I apologize in advance.
That's all right. I love when Johnny calls. I love the show. I'm excited to see what he's going to do.
Me too.
That's a great thing. I was going to talk about traveling, but tell Johnny on the Grace Radio, there was a, I think in the podcast section, I have to find out how to find it, but one of the things he talked about a little while ago when he called your show, when he was on KFMK in Houston.
Uh-huh.
That's on that radio.
Oh, okay. An air check.
Yeah, it was an air check. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know how to look it up now, but it's in the podcast section.
Okay.
I don't know whether you just type in Johnny or Johnny going. I pulled it up and I didn't see it, but I'm going to experiment, but He can experiment with it too, but it's there. It was there a couple of years ago, anyway.
Yeah. Well, probably just punching in KFMK will do it. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. But at least you guys were talking about stations.
Yeah.
That you guys had, at least your stations are still on the air.
Yeah, most of them.
Yeah.
That's right. Very few people have actually turned in the licenses in some cases, but most of them are, yeah.
I wanted to talk about traveling because I'm always fascinated with traveling. I don't know why, but because you've been to Alaska and everywhere.
Yeah.
What are some of your favorite restaurants? Do you have favorite places to eat in Alaska?
In Alaska, I don't have a favorite place to eat. You know, you got back when Tony Knowles was governor, he had the deli downtown Anchorage, so you had to do that. But for the most part, no. Alaska is not, as far as I'm concerned, known for its outstanding food. You know, plenty of hamburgers in Spinard. That's an area I don't necessarily suggest anybody spend a lot of time in. But nonetheless... Valdez. Yeah, all right. I like the pizza in Valdez. Yes, I took John there. I forgot about that. It is good pizza in Valdez. But I don't remember the name of the place. I know where it is, so if we were in Valdez, I could walk over there. But I did like their pizza.
Is that Anchorage? Or?
No, it's Valdez. Valdez is a city.
Alaska.
It is absolutely a city in Alaska.
I thought that was a restaurant.
No, it's a city, and it's truly in the middle of nowhere. But, you know, one of the places I drove John to was Valdez, and so I have a friend who lives there. It was really good pizza.
And you've driven there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I prefer to drive to Alaska than fly. I've flown as well, you know, several times, but I prefer to drive. And that's...
You know, I've never flown.
Well, that's to your credit. I won't ever again commercially. I've given it up. You know, 1999, I just said, I got off a plane. I remember I was with Stephen B. Williams, and I turned to him and I said, I am never getting on another commercial aviation aircraft. Never. And I never did.
I just will not fly. I will not fly. No, you can ask anyone. I've never flown.
Yeah.
I was too afraid, and now with everything that happens and the way they treat people.
Right.
No.
Well, when I have the fortune, which is not often for somebody I know who has a jet, yeah, absolutely, I'll go private. But I ain't getting on anything commercial.
Yeah.
No way. Not going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Private, yeah, I would.
Yeah.
What I wanted to ask was when you go through these different time zones, you know, like, for example, in Arizona, now we're daylight time now. You guys in Arizona, you're like 3 hours, it's like West Coast time.
Yeah, Yeah, in the summer it's the same as Pacific time because we don't have daylight savings. And in the winter it's the same as mountain time because it is mountain time. So that's the way that works. But you mentioned Alaska and you mentioned time. Did you know that Alaska only has two time zones now?
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is 1983. This is when Elizabeth Dole was secretary of whatever it was. They used to have four time zones, which made sense. It's a pretty big space. But 90% of the residents are on Alaska Standard Time, which is the same as Yukon. So it's only an hour behind the West Coast. But, man, it's just crazy that they do that because, obviously, a lot of land, four time zones made sense, but not anymore.
I mean, I think it's 4 hours behind us now.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's to say it's 1 hour behind California. That's exactly right. It's the same as Yukon time.
Right. And Hawaii is...
Two hours.
Hawaii goes to six, yeah. I think.
Yeah, and Hawaii does not have daylight savings time either.
Why don't they just leave it at one... thing.
Well, you know, I would like to do that, except if they do that, Arizona is going to stay on standard time, which would mean if everybody else stays on daylights, we'd be operating the same as Pacific time. And I really don't want that, because if I got 3 hours difference between me and the East Coast, I'm never going to be calling anybody. I prefer, because I know that Arizona won't up it if they do a permanent daylight savings. But they should.
I would think standard time, you know, I mean... I remember when they did the daylight time year-round in 1974 for the quote-unquote energy crisis.
Yeah.
I went to school in the dark.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah, well,
daytimers were coming on at 8:30.
Right. Oh, absolutely. There's positives and negatives about both of them, but the idea about picking one and settle with it, well, they could also be like Newfoundland and go ahead and just have a half-hour time zone. But John says, shut up, so hang on a minute, don't go away.
Our guardian star lost all his glow the day that I lost you. He lost all his glitter the day you said no, and his silver turned to blue. Like him, I am doubtful that your love is true. If you decide to call on me, ask for Mr. Blue. I'm Mr. Blue. When you say you love me,
Mr. Blue,
then prove it by going out on the sly, proving your love isn't true. I'm Mr. Blue. When you say you're sorry,
Mr. Blue,
then turn around, heading for the lights of town, hurting me through and through.
Call me Mr. Blue.
I stay at home at night,
right
by the phone at night,
right by the
but
phone.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. There they are, the Fleetwoods. And I forgot how much I really liked that song. And yes, I did. I'll admit it. And that was on Dalton Records. Yeah, after Sam Reisdorf got in trouble with Dolphin. And I promised the Fleetwood story. So firstly, the Fleetwoods were not named after the car, which most people thought. They were named after a phone exchange. In fact, it was Olympia, Washington's first phone exchange, long before seven-digit dialing. Pacific Telephone and Telesis had the company. And they built a building, a frames building in 1938, six-digit dialing, but the first two, of course, were 3-5 for Fleetwood, and that was the deal. That building still exists. It's on the historic register, and it was the Pacific Telephone and Telegraph Building, but everybody called it the Fleetwood Building, which they probably do to this day, though it's low-income housing now. Okay, back to Bob Reisdorf, who I think was an appliance salesman, actually. He and Bonnie Guitar had gotten together, and they formed the Dolphin label, and they put out Come Softly to Me, which we played last night for Robert. It was a request. Well, this was fine, except I guess they really didn't bother to check into it to find out that there was a Dolphin label, the Dolphins of Hollywood, which wasn't in Hollywood, obviously. And so, needless to say, to avoid the lawsuit, they changed it to Dalton. But if you look at it later, the light blue label with fishes on it, yeah, it's because it was Dolphin before, and then it became Dalton. All right. It ultimately was distributed by Liberty, not when it was Dolphin, but later when it was Dalton, and then it was bought by Liberty in about 1963. But the Fleetwoods were Barbara, Gretchen, and Gary. Gary Troxell, just to me, an amazing voice. Gretchen Christopher and Barbara Ellis. Barbara actually kind of left the group, not kind of, she did leave the group after about 5 years, and that was it. She was done with singing. In the 70s, I know she was in Ontario, California. She was managing a mobile home park, and she was married a few times, and I don't know what happened, but she's still alive from everything I know. Gretchen Christopher had an interesting life, but ultimately still alive back in Olympia. Now, Gary Troxell. This is the interesting part, because Gary wound up making history. He made history because he is a Supreme Court decision. And what occurred was Gary and his wife had four children, one of them a young man who ultimately killed himself. Now, before he killed himself, he was living with Tommy Granville, and they had two kids and daughters. The two daughters were pretty much over at Gary's house all the time. Gary and his wife cared for them. But after Tommy Granville, was going to get remarried at that point, she wanted to stop visitation, at least, if not stop it entirely, curtail it, because for the most part, the Troxells really were these girls' lives. And so the Troxells wound up suing for visitation rights. And it was fascinating because in some of the lower court cases, it ruled in their favor. So ultimately, it got to the Supreme Court. And this was probably 2000 when it got to the Supreme Court or thereabouts. This had gone on for like 8 years. This was an expensive piece of litigation, to say the least. And when it was all said and done, the Supreme Court ruled against the Troxells, said that there's no such thing as grandparents' rights legally. And that decision has been talked about ever since then, on and off in both directions, and we won't bother to go there. But what I always wondered is, what happened to Isabel and Natalie? Those were the girls, Isabel Rose and Natalie Ann. Well, Tommy got married again to Kelly Wynn. And I found him. He has a water and wastewater services company, and he's superintendent of wastewater for Laconia, Washington. And no longer married to Tommy. Tommy is now Tommy Crosby. She's living in Coopville. But what about the girls? Well, Kelly Wynn adopted them in about, 1995, maybe before the court case was final. But in any event, so it's Isabel Wynn, and she lives in Anacortes, and Natalie Ann Wynn, she lives in Olympia. And what they're doing, I don't know, but my real question was, now that they're absolutely adults, one of them's got to be 30, the other probably about 28, did they ever get together and see Gary again and his wife? And I don't know. I looked and looked and looked, couldn't find a thing. I know. What else are you doing at 3 a.m? Well, if you wonder, now you know. All right, so I have no answer to that. But I do know that all three of the Fleetwoods are still very much alive. Rumors of Gretchen Christopher's death are not correct. Somebody else with that name did die, but it wasn't her. She's in Olympia. So that's the story of the Fleetwoods. And Gretchen, by the way, had a Fleetwoods group, and Gary had a Fleetwoods group, and they both legally could do that. And Barbara, like I say, gave up singing. So now you know the rest of the story. Okay, back to Nick.
That's an interesting story.
Isn't it? And see, I'm dying to know, because, the soap opera in me. I'd like to know, did Gary ever get to talk with Isabel and Natalie as adults? I don't know.
Hmm. That is so interesting. See how you never know.
No. No,
these things are so, and I love that tune.
Oh yeah, I do too. Yeah, me too. It's just a magical record.
Well, that was the beauty of Top 40 back then.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was
had everything
right. 40 most popular record, didn't matter what it was. You're right.
Right, and it was so different when we were all growing up, and now everything is like. fragmented and
you almost have to do that though in terms of that, because there's so much from which to choose. You know, in the mid 50s when Top 40 starting, you really didn't have FM to speak of. You had a very limited number of AM stations. You had three television networks for the most part, you know. And so you could do that. And you know, Todd Storr's famous line about you know, when they asked him what he'd play, he said, "Well, if the public wants Chinese gong music, we'll play it."
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's true. And the beauty of today is you can actually find anything you want.
Oh yeah. Well, that's it. You know, and that's the good and bad news, you know, in terms of if you're trying to compete with it. It's great for
good and bad.
Yeah, us the listener, but I'm not sure it's a competitive landscape I'd want to be part of.
I'll leave you with a funny radio story.
Yes.
Okay. My funny radio, and again, I love those air checks that Johnny plays, the old soul disc.
Oh, yeah.
But my funny radio story is this. When I was working at the station in Annapolis, the owner at the time, very nice man, we bought the AM and the FM, he was into Broadway music.
Mm-hmm.
So they started a Broadway show tunes show, and it was on Sunday morning. Well, I did Sunday morning on the AM side, and the guy who did the music director who did the Broadway show, he would come in and do the Broadway show, and he wanted us to simulcast on AM and FM.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had an engineer at that time. God love him. He miswired things. I guess that's the way you can say it. And so when we went to simulcast, we were testing it,
right.
You know, before we did it that Sunday morning, and it wouldn't work. So we couldn't simulcast. Well, I used to stay at the radio station on the weekend, and I had my radio in my overnight bag, which was a Sony ICF 2002. It was an AM/FM shortwave, which was a good radio.
Oh yeah, they were.
And so what we did was we plugged in, and thank God the batteries were fully charged. We used the earphone jack of the radio, because they ran actualities through a cassette player when they would run news, do live news actualities, or, pre-recorded, I should say, news actualities. So we used the earphone jack of the radio. And that's how we did simulcast that one day.
Okay.
And the program director calls, and he's yelling and screaming, oh, my God, we're not going to simulcast. And so the music director said, well, thank God Nick had his radio. That's how we did the simulcast. And I was praying the batteries would hold. And they did hold up because they were fully charged. So.
Oh, that's great.
So that's my funny, so many weird stories that happened over there.
Oh, absolutely. And that was the beauty of local radio, which was, put together on a wing and a prayer, literally. And there are so many colorful owners. And, you know, at the time we might have cursed the heck out of them. Now we would take them in a heartbeat over corporations. So, of course.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah. So was it NAV? Is that where
it
you
was? It was NAV. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Henry Rao.
NAV and the FM was
Henry Rao.
NAV and HFS.
Okay.
No, it was under, it was Jake Einstein.
Okay, oh yeah, okay, absolutely. Yeah.
Because they had changed the FM to HFS.
Right, absolutely.
Which is now on AM.
Right. He had NAV Wire and XZL. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, absolutely.
He was a really a nice man. When the station was sold, and it was their last day, I called, his number was still up on the board, and I was on the air, and I was in the middle of my show, and I called Jake up, and I said, well, I wanted to thank you for, hiring me, and it was really a great pleasure working for you. Really good guy.
Well, neat. Neat, yeah. I think Henry Rao had it in the 60s. And then it went to Jake. Yeah. Okay.
They sold it to, and then of course they had West Virginia. They had the station in Clarksburg.
Yep.
And I think they had one in Tennessee. The AM in Clarksburg actually went off the is gone. It went off the air.
Yeah, which is sad.
But they had DSD in Dover.
Yep.
And DOV, which is now iHeart.
Right.
So they were. It was a halfway decent company.
Yeah.
At the time. I mean, they had a news department. I mean,
yeah. I started working. Right. I know. Who would have ever thought we'd get to the point where that would be a headline? He had a news department. Yes, exactly.
Even when I worked there, we had news on the weekend. We had a news department.
Yeah.
And we actually went out and, you know, covered. I actually covered news a little bit. You know, during the storm, we had a snowstorm, and so a lot of the jocks were turned into reporters.
Yeah,
we had to go out and cover stories. Well, that's my story. So
I love it. All right, good to hear from you, Nick. Thanks so much for calling.
Right. Hey, thanks.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
All right. So 888-876-5593-8888-RALEIGH. And let's see what we're going to do here. I believe Eduardo is in Tampa. What? Oh, John says, don't talk to Eduardo. Do this. You're right. You're right. I'm gonna blow it again commercial-wise. I'll get you in a minute. Don't go away, Eduardo. And you too. We'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yes, Daniel Boone, who actually was a British guy whose real name was Peter Green. Why he wanted to be an American explorer, I can't tell you, but that's a medley of his hits. Yeah, he recorded quite a lot, actually, especially in the 70s, but this is the only one that did it. And it sold 2 million records, and that's for Cindy, who we're going to talk to next hour about AI. We'll talk to Eduardo, and we'll talk to Floyd and to James, and hopefully you two coming up right here on WGN Radio.
I'll tell you about the magic and the free of soul, but it's like trying to tell a stranger about a rock and roll. Believe in magic, don't bother to choose if it's jug band music or rhythm and blues. Just go and listen, it'll start with a smile that won't wipe off your face, no matter how hard you try. Your feet start tapping and you can't seem to find how you got there, so just blow your mind.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. The Kama Sutra label, 1965, Love and Spoonful, Do You Believe in Magic? And that was a request. Now, let me find out who it was. I've forgotten already. But I did put it on the list, so somebody called for it. Sooner or later, I'll figure that out. All right, so But I, Mike in Elmwood. Okay. All right, Mike. Hope you're there and hope you heard it. Eduardo in Tampa, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Well, I think this is better than AutoZone. One of the ladies from my bank, BMO, left.
Uh-huh.
So I put in an application for associate banker.
Good.
So just in case, you know, the hospital stuff doesn't come through.
Good.
But that's a nice, so by, nice backup.
By putting in the application, do you get an interview, or how does this work?
Yeah, I'm going to go tomorrow.
Okay.
And let the, because I talked to the supervisor.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we have a good relationship.
Uh-huh.
So tomorrow's Friday, I'm going to talk to him because they're not there on the weekend.
Okay.
And let them know I already did this. I actually went, I got a library nearby because I don't have my thing here, you know, like a laptop or anything. I got a Kindle, but I don't have like a laptop. So I got a nearby library. So I went there during the day today and took care of that. So I'm going to follow up with the manager tomorrow.
Okay.
And let him know. See what happens.
Good. Well, good luck on that.
Yeah. I mean, if it takes too long with the hospital thing, you know, yeah. Just, yeah. I'll still be doing the other work, you know, the stadium work.
Right.
The temporary, the standardized patient at Nova University. And then
uh-huh.
There's election, primary election coming up in August. Even on target, if they call me about an assignment.
Okay.
So, you know, I still got that stuff. So
stuff. All
yeah,
right.
So I'm glad that that's so much better than doing something like retail. So
yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So I'm glad that that opening popped up. I found out about that this week. Well, what happened with the other lady? Well, yeah, she moved on. So
okay. Well,
so
good.
They'll be interviewing with for that opening. So, I mean, that was good to hear there was an opening. So
yes. All right.
Yeah. Let me get into, because you're in the final hour here, Spirit Airlines. And I even saw a thing right now on Lufthansa. I guess the fuel prices is kind of like...
doesn't help.
Grounding some of these people. But Spirit, I don't know. They were supposed to hook up with JetBlue, but that never happened. So now they're saying Spirit Airlines might just go away completely.
Well, this is another case, as we talk about so often, where they've got unsustainable debt. And so the high the high fuel costs kind of just put them over the edge, if you will.
Okay.
So when you're operating, you know, on the edge to begin with, you know, fuel prices really rise, and you know your place in the market is basically as a budget carrier. There's only so much you can do to raise your rates and still get a passenger on the plane. So I think more than anything else, though, you know, people talk about the fuel prices and all that, and that may be a driver, but it's the unsustainable debt. You know,
and they're raising the baggage fee, so I guess that's supposed to help out.
Yeah, but you're talking about an operating margin of negative 20%. You know, $1 billion negative free cash flow as of the middle of last year. So, you know, their long-term debt is $2.4 billion. And, you know, this is 2026. Much of that is due in 2030. So, you know, I mean, sure, you want, and of course, you know, when we say debt, we're talking about debentures like bonds and things like that, as opposed to equity like stocks. And, you know, so yeah, they're, the merger with JetBlue, that's a few years ago now. That the Justice Department knocked that out of the ballpark.
Okay.
And so that's why that fell apart. And I don't think they ever found anybody that was willing to step up to the plate or could. And so, you know, when you're dealing with your entire positioning is that you're cheap, that makes it very tough to raise your rates. And when your competitors are lowering theirs, whoa boy. So then you also have to look at what is their fleet about. And I know they had some issues with the Pratt & Whitney engines and some grounding and stuff like that. And, of course, you know, if you're talking about doing it on a low budget, though most of us wouldn't consider $2.4 billion in debt too low, but it is. And they went from about 214 planes to about 75 or whatever. That's that was the deal. And then they were going to cut jobs. So that's part of the restructuring. But... you know, even so, this could be a shutdown.
Yeah.
You know, I would almost anticipate
there hasn't been any accidents.
Oh, thank God. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that we can thank.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And of course, you know, you always worry is the first thing they're, saving on is maintenance. No. In Victorville, in California, you can drive by and actually see the storage facility. You can see, from what I understand at Victorville, a lot of Spirit planes are there and, you know, part of the liquidation.
Oh, okay.
So as far as that, so I would say the rise in prices probably, if that's the straw, it might be a straw, but the camel's back was already in trouble before that.
Yeah, I was hearing on the John Williams show during the day today. Most people are just going to stay local; they're not going to be doing any foreign. That's this, at least for the time being. They'll be sticking closer to home than doing the foreign travel.
We'll see. And,
fortunately,
most people put the tickets on their credit card, so if it does go belly up, they have some recourse, usually. So, at least that's something. So
there you go. There's the Raleigh rule, the credit card.
Always. I'm telling you what. Hey, I go to McDonald's, get myself my extra large Coke,
right.
Put it on a credit card. That's right. Absolutely. Right. There's nothing that I can't put on fantastic plastic. So,
okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, I'm going to have Taste of Straz. That's at the Straz Performance Center. They're going to have the tent out, and they'll have foods and drinks. And so that'll be my Saturday evening right there.
Good. All right. Well,
yeah,
I'm going
to have to make dinner when I get home.
Okay, I'll take it.
So that'll be my fun.
All right, thanks.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
All right, thank you, Raleigh. Have a good weekend, everyone. Thank you.
Okay, good deal. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, and I hope to get through everybody. We've got Cindy in Chicago, and I'm going to get her her Building a Nest for Mary. We got a story about that, too, on WGN Radio.
Got a lot of little things to do. Got to make a little dream come true. Morning, night, and noon, I'm doing my best. Building a nest for Mary. Planning on a little bungalow where a lot of little roses grow. Morning, night, and noon, I'm doing my best. Building a nest for Mary. Someday we'll rock away our cares in our rocking chairs. Wind the clock and then tiptoe upstairs. Laying out a little nursery for a blossom on our family tree. Morning, night, and noon, I'm doing my best. I'm building a nest for Mary.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. I'm so glad that Cindy requested this because I hadn't thought about it in years. I'd mentioned to her that, a lot of people did it. So the original, though, was the Ipana Troubadours. And the Ipana Troubadours were interesting, of course, because it was actually Lester Lennon's older brother, Sam. Sam Lennon's band. But what happened was he got a radio show in the 1920s, actually, as far back, I think it's like 23 on WEAF, and it was there for years, and it was sponsored by Bristol Myers and Ipana toothpaste, so it became the Ipana Troubadours, and it was on the NBC Red Network until 28, and then on the Blue Network until 31, that kind of thing. And Bristol Myers sponsored it to promote Ipana, the smile of beauty, and Sal Hepatica, the smile of health. Yeah, and hence the theme song was Smiles. But it was Sam Lennon who had the orchestra, and there were a number of people who were top-tier players after a fact. Tommy Dorsey, Jimmy Dorsey, Red Nichols, Jack Teagarden, and others. And, Franklin Bauer and Chick Bullock and Dick Robertson did the vocals. And, network exposure made probably the Ipana Troubadours the most recognizable dance band in the 20s. And that show went on for quite a while, actually, and as far as that goes. And I'm trying to think when it would have left, but it was certainly there through the 30s. Now, the interesting thing was, I smile when I think of Ipana toothpaste, because, of course, this was huge. This started in 1901, and the hook of it was Bristol-Myers supposedly that this was going to make you healthier and your teeth healthier, because they had all sorts of things that would make you healthy. Well, some of those all sorts of things were asbestos, yeah, to make your teeth whiter, and hexachlorophene, which was the prime ingredient in the 50s because of its germ-killing power. Well, that's true, but ultimately the FDA outlawed it because it was dangerous. But nonetheless, Bristol-Myers did very well with Ipana. Of course, then comes Procter & Gamble and Colgate and all of that, and it was really fascinating what happened with television. When color television came about, Bristol-Myers was not interested in investing in it. All right, yeah. Procter & Gamble, meanwhile, all over the place. So, you know, I think Ipana went out of business at the end of the 70s in the U.S., but it is in other countries to this day. I think it's in Turkey to this day. It never got the ADA certification as far as that goes, regardless of its asbestos or chlorhexidine. All right, so with that in mind, there's Cindy in Chicago probably telling her more than she wanted to know about Ipana Troubadours. There you go, Cindy.
Well, interesting. I have my aunt and uncle Gertrude and Charles Krause picture on the chest dresser across from me, and they were married in the height of the Depression, 1935.
Okay.
But anyhow, they're there for me, you know, that she was she knew everything about life, and I don't know. They knew everything about, but they were just the best people. But then anyhow, I want to, you know, the last time I flew was 6 months before 9/11.
Okay.
And I wanted to talk about Spirit Airlines. I flew, you know, maybe 5 or 6 times in my life, and I have always flown United.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I flew, you know, from the commercials, fly the friendly skies, mm-hmm. and all that, I thought the stewardess was going to beat me up and throw me overboard. She was so mean. I mean, they're just so, the stewardesses are so mean on that. So the one time I flew to Tampa to visit my aunt and uncle on Spirit Airlines, I asked the stewardess, what the hell is wrong with you? You're so mean.
Oh, that's a great way to start the conversation.
I said, I'm going to sit here and cry because you're so nice. They were just, and I remember the one girl, it was just kind of humorous. She said she was withdrawing from caffeine and she had the shakes, but they were just cute. It's the nicest girls. They just were, they had a lovely karma and they weren't mean.
Uh-huh.
And the one time I flew to see my brother with my mother on United, I vomited and I'm like, all right, what do? I press the button and the stewardess screams at me, you know, like one side down the other. Why did you call me? I'm like, well, I vomited. And she put a towel on my neck and I said, could I have some soda, like some 7-Up or something? And she gave me like a half a thing of 7-Up. Like, God, United, I don't know. And then when they went bankrupt, I didn't really, you know, I'm like, I didn't really give it. Remember, they went bankrupt?
Oh, yes.
And I'm like, I really didn't give a damn. But then anyhow, I really, you know, but then anyhow.
Actually, by the way, there's a moral to your story, and that is that most people form their opinion of big companies by interaction with just one person. So consequently, the hiring is very important, more important than most people realize, because that image, like you say, you don't want to be on that airline, all because of one person. So that's something to remember.
But it was like, it wasn't, it was like every time I flew, you know, I flew United for a real, like about 5 times, you know, and then never again, you know, I never flew again, I had a karma, like not a karma, premonition feeling the last time I flew, I sat next to people from the Middle East, and they were reading the Quran, and I don't know why. I mean, I'm not prejudiced or any. I just had a weird feeling. Something told me, don't tell them your brother works for the Naval Department. So, I don't know why, but I wanted to talk about AI.
Uh-huh. What about it?
If you want to hear it again, I believe that it's a big scam by the investor. I mean, this is just my opinion. I've read all this stuff and went through the dot-com bubble. But anyway, I believe it's a big scam by the capitalist class, and they're pushing all this just to make their fortune. And after it all doesn't work and it ends up to be a sham, all these rich people that made all their money off of it are not going to give a damn what the hell it does to the general public and leave it to somebody else to clean up the mess.
All right, then. Cindy has spoken. Mark this date down in history. We'll see.
And then the other thing is, I'm talking like Ruth again. For Ruth, I have a Baptist Lutheran line to God. Uh-huh. And the line
to God. Direct line to God. All right, that's pretty interesting.
And the lion in C.S. Lewis's book has spoken.
I see.
Aslan from C.S. Lewis's book, The Magician.
It's time to go to the local news. We will talk to you soon. Bye, Cindy. All right, and on that note, we'll see what's going on in the world at large on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Dave on the north side wanted to hear Mr. Blue Sky. So Electric Light Orchestra 1978 on Jet. There you have it. Now we got Floyd in Iowa. Floyd, what's happening tonight?
Well, not too much, Raleigh, but I was going to get two. I had one I heard when I saw the movie Heartbreak Ridge with Clint Eastwood. It's Don Gibson, Sea of Heartbreak.
Oh, good song.
I think it came out in 61. But the thing that threw me off was I thought, well, the movie's going to be period genre, the period music of the Korean War. It couldn't have been.
No.
And, of course, it's still going on. But I was looking at 50, 53, such as that. But another one that came up was a group called the Ramrods. They did Ghost Riders in the Sky.
They did.
Came out, was it 62?
Yeah, all right.
You see that there?
Yep. You want me to play that?
Can you?
Yeah.
And there might not be enough time.
Well, not tonight. It'll be next week, but I will play it.
Yeah, sure. And if we had to pick one, we just pick the Ramrods. But I'll tell you, that had me curious about that song by Don Gibson. Because I looked at that, and I see there's a fellow named Hal David,
mm-hmm.
was one of the composer's lyricists. And I'm thinking, well, no, wait a minute. Hal David and Burt Bacharach. It can't be, but it is.
Yeah,
that's the same guy, isn't it?
Yeah, Hal David wrote a number of things without Burt Bacharach, and he wrote that with Paul Hampton.
Yeah, yeah. And then I'm looking at the date on it. That could be. It turns out it is the same guy.
Yeah, absolutely. No, the Hal David wasn't a youngster, and he absolutely did a lot of things before Burt Bacharach.
And then you told me a couple other things too. But I used to think studio musicians were just someone that just around the studio could do in a pinch. But you helped educate me on that. These folks. They're pretty good.
Well, a lot of them.
They're very good.
And a lot of them made the record and never got more than a session fee. That was really true for a lot of the Motown guys. They absolutely made the records. But, you know, Hal David was born like in 1921. So he had done a number of things prior to Burt Bacharach, as far as that goes. Yep. He was working with big band people like Guy Lombardo and stuff like that. And I think he started working with Burt Bacharach, and the reason they worked together was they both were working for a publisher, Famous Music, in the Brill Building. And that was probably the mid-60s, 56, and I think there was some stuff that wound up in some movies, and then, you know, they did Story of My Life, which was a big hit for Marty Robbins, and that really took off for them, and then, you know.
Now Marty Robbins was a singer on that Ghost Rider in the Sky, too. I've heard that. Yeah. But the one I wanted to like was that Ramrod.
Yeah,
okay. Marty Robbins is kind of, to me, I know he's a famous singer. I know he's good in the West Texas town of El Paso and such as that. But it just didn't cut it. For me. That guy, I know he's good.
And a lot of times what you'll like about a record won't necessarily even be the vocalists. It will be the production behind it. And so the Ramrods came out on Amy, part of that Amy Malabelle group. And I don't know who produced that song. I know Claire Lane was the drummer, but that's all I know. But
I know one thing for sure.
What?
We used to listen to these broadcasts on a little transistor radio with a small speaker.
Sure.
The first time I heard one of my brother's friends took us over to his house. His dad was in insurance, and he had a big shot. They had a lot of money. The stereo system he had was somebody I didn't see anyone paid that much attention to. He called it a stylus, and it was a Pickering cartridge on a dual turntable.
All right.
With a Marantz or a Sony. He called it a receiver or an amplifier. Going to JBL speakers.
Yeah, right.
When he turned that thing up, Raleigh, that was the difference in night and day. It was that little stereo radio, transistor radio, not even close.
Well, of course
not. You could actually understand.
Yeah, of course.
You could understand the words that were, you could understand the words that were being spoken. I know when I heard that Beach Boys song, Barbara Ann.
Which was not originally.
They were singing.
Well, it wasn't originally the Beach Boys. It was a cover.
Or whatever it was, I thought they were saying ba 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 by a sheep, and then per rent.
Oh, well,
it makes no sense at all.
It was a remake of the Regents. They had the hit originally, but yeah, and then of course later the parody Bomb Iran. I always like that. But anyhow, yes. So,
thank you, Raleigh.
All right, good.
Let me talk
deal.
To you later.
Well, you betcha. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so the Ramrods, that was on Amy, and as I say, I'm not 100% sure. I know Claire Lane, who was the drummer, she was the drummer, I'm sorry, I've changed her gender there. Her brother was Richard, and he was in the group too, and they're from Connecticut. And, just played locally in Connecticut. And somebody at Amy Records found him. And that was Ghost Riders in the side. Richard was the tenor sax player. Claire, like I say, she was the drummer. And she wrote the arrangements as well. So, yeah, Claire, they say Claire Lane, but I think their name was Litke. I'm not sure. It doesn't matter. 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. Ah, Chris in Greenwood, South Carolina. So I got you your link, Chris. Hope you noticed it.
Thank you so much.
Oh, sure. So how's the YouTube channel going?
It's going good. I got like over 400 some views of it now.
Well, good.
Yeah, and a lot of people on Facebook saw it.
Good.
Yeah, but you seen the movie, did you?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, you like the cackle at the end.
Yeah. No, but I'm telling you, though, man, next year, do something about the audio on these things. It's just unacceptable. And you could, you know, your things are going to do much better once you clear up the audio.
Okay, yeah. I've got another camcorder. I'll fix that audio.
Yeah, find a way and get with somebody. If it doesn't work for you, get with somebody who knows what they're doing on that, because it will make such a difference in you know, because you get all your films in the film festival, and that's great, but at this point, you haven't made the finals, and I think that your audio is what's killing you from that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
see what I can...
Right. Talk to somebody about that, because, you know, there's a number of things you can do, but as it is now, that audio is so distracting, it takes away from your concepts.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you like the part where she argues with her sister, huh?
Yeah, no, right, exactly, argues with herself, yes, from the other room, exactly, yes, no, I did catch it, it's interesting where you found these people, so I think it's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it reminds me of Psycho when Norman Bates argued with himself.
Yeah, so...
And you remember Richard Linklater, right?
Of course.
The filmmaker?
Yep, of course.
You know, Turner Classic showed his movie Slacker, and... You think I'm going to become the next Richard Linklater?
Well, I don't think you're going to become anyone, I'm telling you, until you do something about that audio. That's how serious I am. You've got to do something about that. That's what's going to make the difference. So if I would say work on anything in the next year, that's where I would go with this.
I got you.
You know, and then hopefully, you know, and I've got, like I say, I've got the link. It's under my entry for April 10th, because it was last Thursday that we talked about it. And yeah, She Did It, a film by Chris Weideman of Greenwood, South Carolina, for the Lander University Film Festival 2026. It's 10 minutes and 5 seconds long. So got some nice smoke in the start of it. So yeah, I think you've got a lot of interesting things. But man, I'm telling you, you don't fix that audio, you're going nowhere. Trust me.
Yeah.
So that's it.
I think it's one of my, like, acting wise, is like one of my better ones.
Yeah. No, I mean, and it looks like everybody had a good time making it too.
Yeah, because was it like did like in flashbacks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because if it was 3 years later, like it said, what year would that be?
Right.
Like 2013, 2020,
2023, 2024. Yeah. So, yeah, no, I think it's great. And the link is right there under the Friday, the 10th of April, and hopefully people will check that out who haven't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. If y'all listeners out there check to that, just let me know.
Yeah.
On the radio.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, hopefully we can get...
give it a watch.
Right, give it a watch, and let's get a ton of views. 517 so far, and it's only been up a
uh-huh.
week. So, all right.
Yeah, and I got one question.
Yes.
You remember, like, back in the 80s, these sitcoms did these very special episodes, like, that tackle real-life stuff.
Of what?
Like, different shows, like... Hitchhiking.
Oh, yeah.
Stranger Danger.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they don't make shows like that no more. They were trying to make good statements out back then.
Yeah, well, yeah, a lot of stuff like that. Yeah, boys beware. Yeah, God, don't start me. It's all online. All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Good luck.
Oh, yeah, and we saw Rear Window at the Film Society Tuesday in the theater.
Always a nice thing to see. Yes, yes, with Ross Bagdasarian in it.
Oh, yeah, you know Perry Mason was a bad guy on there?
Yes, of course, Raymond Burr.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he looked a lot different on there.
Yes.
I didn't know Perry Mason was a killer on there.
Yeah, no, yeah, Raymond Burr, like I say.
I made him a monster.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah, a lot of people in that. So
it was what's that, Grace Kelly?
Yeah, star-studded cast. Yes, it was Grace Kelly. That was a Paramount picture. I remember it well, and one of the few movies I've seen, because of course it had Ross Bagdasarian.
Yeah, and Universal came on first before Paramount when we watched it in the theaters, the new Universal picture.
Okay. All right.
I thought it was a Universal picture, but it was Paramount, because Hitchcock did a deal with Paramount.
It was Paramount, and it was based on a book, a 1942 short story, It Had to Be Murder. So, Jimmy Stewart and Grace Kelly and Thelma Ritter, Raymond Burr, and Ross Bagdasarian. And it was screened at the Venice Film Festival.
You know all Hitchcock movies was Paramount, like Psycho, Rear Window.
Well, you make a deal, you make a deal, of course.
The Birds wasn't Paramount.
That was after that deal, I think.
Yeah, Universal, and then he went on from Universal until the end of his run of movie making.
Right, there you are. All right.
Yeah, and he made short appearances in his own movies.
Yes, that's absolutely true.
Yeah, I do sometime in my movies.
Yeah, all right. Well, I can't wait to hear next year's, and of course, we'll have to wait till you get your title. That's what that's what you kind of pick, and I'll look forward to it.
Yeah, so hopefully before next year, I'll do the radio that won't turn off that I've been itching to do since 2019.
All right. Well, keep and maybe that's one to practice with on the sound.
Yeah.
All right. Keep us posted.
Yeah, because I got that idea by listening to the Saturday morning show on my local AM station.
All right.
With Lena Horne with Stormy Weather was so sad sounding, I had to make that depressing.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, keep me posted, and good luck. Thank you.
I will, Raleigh.
All right.
You have a good weekend.
You too. Thanks,
Everybody
Chris.
Everybody there, check out my movie. Give
yes,
it a watch.
Absolutely. And the link's right on Raleigh.net. Thanks. Appreciate it. Yes, it is on the April 10th entry, Rolleye.net. We'll get to James on the South Side next on WGN Radio. Well, I think we will. Maybe we won't. I don't know. I'll just talk to James. We'll figure it out after the fact, I guess. So, James, welcome back to WGN Radio.
How are you?
I don't know anymore. How about yourself, James?
Well, I'm hanging in here. That's all we can do.
Oh, all right. I was hoping for a review a little better than hanging in there. So, how are you how are you feeling?
Oh, I'm doing fine. At least I haven't fallen anymore.
Good. That's excellent. Yes, standing upright is a real plus. I agree with that. You got a place to live?
It's going well.
Okay, so all's well. All right.
And I sent you a few stories. I think you might have used at least one or two before today.
Yeah.
And I got to admit, the social media one, I got to give Greece a little credit, although they got the idea from France.
Well, they got it from Australia. But, you know, I opened the show with that today, and I still am very concerned that they're passing these regulations, but they're not making provisions for what happens if these companies violate the identity of these people, because they're asking the teens to provide all sorts of identifying information, but there's nothing in these bills that penalize the companies if it gets stolen.
That's right.
Yeah, that should be front and center. You know, they talk about $32 million fine if you have a teen on there. Well, it should be a $32 million fine if you break that teen's identity.
Yeah, because they are basically stuck for life, where they, even though they hadn't even really even got their adulthood.
And, you know, they're not really doing anything to make that an issue. And that's the issue I'd look at front and center. I mean, yes, they absolutely should do something about it, but not by putting kids in harm's way or adults in harm's way.
Unfortunately, they don't get it.
Well, apparently not. And I shouldn't say putting kids in harm's way because kids aren't supposed to be on there. But the adults, you know, the older teens and the adults who want to be on there, they're basically divulging all sorts of personal information. And there's nothing that's saying it has to be protected.
Yeah, years down the road, they go wonder, maybe I don't really want to do one. Now, of course, there is supposedly software. There's supposed to be sites that will where you can wipe out almost all of your anything where data brokers have gotten a hold of.
Oh.
You can basically wipe out this, that, and the other, but I don't know how.
Well, yeah, there are companies offering that service, but we don't know how for price. But we don't know how well it works yet. But you know, every day, no matter where you go, there's something else that's enticing you to give up your identity. You know, use this app. You can't go to a fast food place that doesn't say, "Are you ordering with your app?" No, I'm not, and you're not getting a cell phone number out of me. You know, on and on it goes. But people are willing to do this, and there's absolutely no real law in the United States, anyway, that protects them.
No. And I suspect this might get even more problematic as prices and stuff keep going up and that
yeah.
sort of thing. People say, oh, I can at least get a bargain
yeah.
here. I can get a bargain there.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. I almost dare not say this because I think it's on WGN as well. But there's a commercial that's on radio coast to coast about how you can get money back from every gasoline purchase you make. And John and I both, both looked at each other and said, exactly how does that work? You know, what's in it for the company? And I don't know. I'm not casting any aspersion because I haven't looked it up, but it makes you wonder.
Yeah, it's on WGN radio. Yeah.
It's on everything. I mean, they're ubiquitous. They're everywhere. And so, but what's the angle for the company? Why are they giving you money? What are they getting from you?
That would be. And I mean, they say, "Oh, you got a whole lot of cash you can use and use for other things." Well,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. This is like, you mean this is better than Chime or one of those other strange things that really says, oh, you can have money here, money there. I'm like thinking, it almost makes me ask the question of, oh, what have I signed up for to be part of the play 42nd Street?
Yeah, right. I don't know. Anyway, I think that we're out of time because I think now Adam didn't catch the last break, so I think we're going to go to last break now and end the show, and we'll talk to you next week, and thank you for the links.
Okay, goodbye. You're welcome. Have a nice weekend.
All right, so on that, I think we'll end it, and we'll say thanks to Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. Above all, a big thanks to you for calling. It's what makes the show a pleasure to do. We'll do Monday Night Trivia next live on Monday night at 10 o'clock. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.
Making bank from the drunk stank, plus Magic Carpet Glide and Honey Wagon, Hanky Shanky. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News, Real News. Real stories, real fun. Mayday, heyday, payday. I'll have what she's having. A Los Angeles jury awards more than 5 million buckaroos for a whopperoo of a wrongful dismissal suit at the LAPD. A high-ranking female cop got fired for being passed out drunk in an unmarked police squad car with a subordinate police say. That's downright discrimination, she claimed, since male brass get away with that sort of stuff all the time. Back the brew, Ossifer. Carpet snagger. One man's Tinseltown trash is another woman's eyeing carpet ride. A fabulous 50,000 square feet of this year's Oscars red carpet all rolled up and left outside as rubbish after the Academy Awards in Hollywood. But one nosy neighbor nabbed a choice chunk of it out of a dumpster and lugged the rug to her snug-as-a-bug abode. Schlepp and Replete now gets the red carpet apartment treatment at home. Scat burglar. He's encumbered one with number two. A Florida man failed at first to steal a sewage septic tank one night, cops say. So he came back with a U-Haul and managed to sty hard with a vengeance, cops claim, and there's viral video of a sicko pushing and pulling the Stanko Tanko into the truck. But Stooley's dropped a dime on the deuce, and now this cesspool psycho's been sent to the slammer. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.